This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What is Dax, are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. From the 903, my fantasy baseball team is Go Get Rangers in honor of Kevin. From the another 214, oh, this is concerning. I know where Kevin lives. Can I leave a note on his door saying 162-0? Alec, there's two things that let me know that our show had really picked up traction. One, before I knew Jess, I went on a date with a girl. We were at this restaurant, and this guy walked by and goes, "Better." And that lady thought I was the biggest deal in the world. And then when we got a UPS package at the house one day, and somebody wrote KNC rules on it, and I was like, oh, man, we've really made it in this world.
That's crazy.
Heck yes, you have. All right, so let's talk some NFL draft here. The players that could be there at pick number 12 probably won't be there at pick 12, and perhaps who Wolchuk likes best at pick number 12. And from the 903, not to put too much pressure on you, buddy.
I'm feeling a lot of pressure.
Me and Zach had already had this talk. I swear to God, if he wants us to take an offensive lineman at 12, don't do it.
Well, you're in luck.
Oh, we'll see.
We're drafting a lineman, baby.
How it plays out. All right. Are there a couple of players that you feel like have already been discussed? I know Ashton Jeanty is probably the most logical. Mm-hmm. That you're like, hey, that would be great. They're not going to be there at 12. Or you don't think that they'll be there.
I don't think Jeanty's going to be there at 12. I would love for him to be, but I don't think that that is likely an option. I think that the Raiders and the Bears are two teams that are most likely to take him ahead of you.
Okay, Raiders and the Bears. Man, the Bears would be interesting too, because since they like completely overhauled their mm-hmm. offensive line, I would be really fascinated to see that particular pairing.
Which is also why I think they're more likely to take him if he's there now. Previously, I thought they'd go offensive line.
Okay.
But now they've gone ahead and added a center. They've added two guards. Maybe they could take one of the tackles if they want. Maybe Josh Simmons out of Ohio State, Kelvin Banks Jr. out of Texas. Maybe they like Will Campbell if he's there from LSU. But I think most likely if Jeanty goes past the Raiders, he's the pick for the Bears.
All right. What about, just going to ask it, selfish question, okay. Shamar Stewart.
Okay, what do you think about Shamar Stewart, having watched him maybe every week at Texas A&M? Yeah. Because he is one of the more polarizing prospects in this class.
And let me guess, and the idea is going to be, where's the production?
Right.
Because he's got all of the tools.
Yes, like I didn't quite see it, and I wasn't surprised that he tested extremely well, because obviously he's a freak athlete, but he scares me to death.
All right, let me ask you a question that will help me down this path. How do you feel about pressures versus sacks?
I think that pressures are also very effective, okay. And he has a ton of pressures.
Exactly. He led the team in pressures, and I think if you schemed him up just a little bit differently because of the base traits that he has in terms of his athleticism mm-hmm. and explosion, you could see something. But I get it. I agree. That is, I don't know if you want to say a project pick, but you have to make a little bit of a leap of faith. And at pick number 12, maybe that is not what people want to do.
Yeah, and you got to have a plan for him, like you said. Like, are you going to play him at defensive end? To me, I saw a guy that can maybe even kick inside.
I think he can go inside.
And play some defensive tackle for you. So I get it. Like, that is an upside pick of a player that could end up getting you 10 to 15 sacks a year. But he could also be Taco Charlton.
Yes. I hope not, but I can't say for certain because of the productivity in college. Will Johnson. I know we're kind of bouncing all over to different positions.
No, this is good. Just keep throwing them at me here. Will Johnson is a guy that I would pass on personally. Okay. Now, I think he's in play for the Cowboys at 12.
Will you tell me why you would pass?
I don't, and in my notes I put in, is he special? I'm not sure, but he's super steady. But what is his elite trait? He's well-rounded. I think he's a good player, but I don't know about having elite type upside.
Okay.
And he was one of the first players that I watched when I started doing my draft study because he was projected to be a top five possible player. Now, he was banged up last year. So if you go back and watch the Michigan National Championship season, I think that it's better than what you just saw this year. He's a big press man corner. His size is used to his advantage. He can move into the slot some. He's good in zone. Chases a play down against Texas where he came from all the way on the opposite side of the field. And I love that. That's hustle and effort right there. But I do think the long speed is a question mark. And double moves. When I watched him against Roma Dunze in the championship game, I don't know if he's a guy who flips the hips super succinctly and is able to turn and run. So I wanted to get a 40 time on Will Johnson. I like him. There's just other corners I like more. Like, I don't get the knocks on Jahdae Barron. I don't believe that Jahdae Barron is in play for the Cowboys at 12. I think they would take Will Johnson over him. But I have Jahdae Barron as a better corner than I do Will Johnson out of Michigan.
Okay. I was at least curious about one more player, if he will be there. Mikel Williams at 12, because this is somebody that we talked about. They had a really explosive 10. I know people clock the 40, but sometimes you're like, oh, do you need to know that for that particular position? So what do you think about Mikel Williams?
So Mikel Williams, let me just say this. Out of the edges, Mike Green's my guy for Marshall. Okay. I'm taking Mike Green. He started his career at Virginia before he had to move over to Marshall, led college football in sacks with 17, set a Sun Belt Conference record. He had 22.5 tackles for loss, registered a tackle for loss in 12 of 13 games. He is a freak when it comes to athleticism. To me, he's a quarterback killer. And I see it outside of Abdul Carter. I think he's the best pass rusher in this class. The first step quickness is elite. When it comes to Mikel Williams, he doesn't have that type of pass rush ability. But what he does have is he is an excellent run defender. He is essentially swapping out DeMarcus Lawrence. I think it would be a great way to describe it. But did you not just draft that in Marshawn Nealand last
year? Fair. I get you on that. Do you think Green is, I know you said what you like, do you think Green is legitimately in play at pick 12?
For the Cowboys, I can't say that he's not. I think they would like Mikel Williams over Green. I think that they might be looking, they might look at Green and say, does he have a weakness when it comes to stopping the run? I don't think he does. But if I had to, just from talking to some people, I think if I had to predict who the Cowboys' first and second round picks are right now, Mikel Williams, the edge out of Georgia at 12, and then Azure Thomas, the cornerback out of Florida State, I think are two names that should be seriously considered for Dallas.
Now, what has concerned some folks is Mel Kiper mock draft. I don't know how much stock you put in Kiper in particular, but
who the hell's Mel Kiper?
That's one of my favorite clips ever. This is the second straight mock with Amarion Hampton, running back out of North Carolina, going to the Dallas Cowboys.
I'd be stunned. I don't think that there is
kind of upset.
I'd be a little bummed. I would be. And I like Hampton. I think he's a really good player. And I really want them to go ahead and draft a running back by the end of the third round. Like, I think they need to select a guy that's going to be their RB1. And Hampton clearly would be. And I've talked about this on G-Bag and on the Draft Show and the Love of the Star podcast, which there should be a new episode out today that Eric and Brian were doing. So that'll be posted. Look for that. But to me, I just don't think with how deep this running back group is, there's not a running back that I can really go ahead and say, hey, draft him in the first round outside of Ashton Jeanthey. This thing stretches to where I just can't advocate for Hampton. And there's going to be better players that I think on my board than Hampton there either. That'd be a little bit of a reach.
I think that answers my question then. And I know the art of trading down always depends on having to have somebody who wants to make the deal with you. But making a trade down where you pick up a third round pick and go after Hampton in the maybe 19 or 20 range, that's going to be a non-starter for you?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Who else do you like at 12?
Okay, so Jalen Walker, and we got some texts about him from the 214
yes.
out of Georgia. Jalen Walker could be kind of like two birds, one stone for you. Now, I like him more as an edge than I do as an off-ball linebacker. I think he is at his best when he's going and getting after the quarterback, but he does do some things off-ball when it comes to blitzes. He can rush right up the middle of the field. He's got some good quarterback pursuit. The lateral quickness is really what kind of bothers me when it comes to Jalen Walker. But I'd be in on him. Like, I would take Jalen Walker out of Georgia.
Dane loves him, too, right?
Yeah, he is. Big fan. I would take him over Mykel Williams, personally.
Okay.
I'd also probably take Jahad Campbell, the linebacker from Alabama,
okay,
over Mykel Williams. And the reason here is this dude is, like, you make him in a create a lab at linebacker, that's what he is. And there are some people that think he could also give you some edge-like ability, and he played that at Alabama. They played him a little bit off the edge. He can blitz. He is a field general-type linebacker, burst, acceleration. Maybe he can refine his angles when it comes to shedding blocks a little bit more, but he is a talented three-down linebacker that is an athletic freak that plays with really good awareness, specifically in zone coverage, had a big interception against Georgia. So I think I could advocate for Jahad Campbell, maybe more than most, when it comes to being an option there at 12 for the Cowboys.
Now, you had mentioned, I can't remember if it was in the tease or off air, the potential for maybe tight end. Are you going to try to sell me Warren and or Loveland in this first round? Is that what you're doing?
Warren's the guy. I'm not a Colston Loveland dude. I don't know. I think he's one of the more overrated prospects in this draft.
Huh.
Now, I say that, and he's probably going to end up being Brock Bowers. That's exactly what will end up happening. But
the PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't really see the wow. I think he's more of a second round player personally, and I'd probably take Mason Taylor, the tight end of LSU, ahead of Colston Loveland. Yeah, okay. I think Mason Taylor, that his dad's Jason Taylor, his uncle is Zach Thomas. So he's got the football lineage there, and if when LSU needed a play, they looked at Mason Taylor. You're talking third and nine, he goes and gets you 11. Like, this dude is a stud, but Tyler Warren is special. He holds Penn State tight end records for receptions, only Big Ten tight end with 4+ rushing touchdowns in his career, comes from an athletic family. He is the definition of a football player. He is one of my favorite players in this entire draft. He lines up all over the place. He's taken snaps at wide receiver, of course, tight end, halfback, offensive line. He's played wildcat quarterback, moves all over the formation, and he can inline block. So is he the most elusive guy? No. But he is a downhill, run through a mofo's face type of guy. And what I like about him is, what's Dak Prescott's best throw? The seam?
Yeah.
Right over the middle?
Yeah.
Okay, let me line up. You want to go 12 personnel. You want to commit to running the football?
Okay.
Let's have Jake Ferguson. Let's have Tyler Warren on the field at the same time. And how am I helping Dak Prescott to his strengths? Having two good receiving tight end threats that are big, that can run, that can also, well, Fergie needs to block a little bit more consistently than what he did last year. But guys that I do believe can block, Tyler Warren, if he's there at 12, I think you could say can impact your offense just as much as a Matthew Golden from Texas,
okay,
if that's what you wanted to do.
Actually, that is exactly the comparison that I wanted to make, because personally, I think 12 is too high for Golden. Not saying that he's not a quality player or anything like that. All right. Both of them are there for you. And the Cowboys are like, hey, we're going offense here for whatever reason. That just is the decision that gets made. And these two are the top two on their board. Who do you want between those two and why?
I have Warren graded higher than I do Golden.
Okay.
And it's for everything that I just stated. I think this dude.
Okay. And then the appeal of Golden then.
So I like Golden. Personally, I would take a Mecca Igbuka out of Ohio State before I would take Golden. Those are my guys. 1, 2, 3. Like, I've got Travis Hunter as my number two wide receiver. Tet McMillan out of Arizona is my dream pick at 12. I want Tet McMillan if I can't have Jenty. Tet McMillan out of Arizona is the guy that I want. I don't know that he's going to be there after running a pretty good 40 time. But then I would have Egbuka, who I think gets knocked for some athletic traits, but when you watch him play, they throw him the football for screens, and he can still go 60 yards to the house. Like, he gives you yak. And when you talk about wanting to help your offense run the ball better, Emeka Egbuka blocks his ass off. Like, he is a constant professional. He is a pro. I have no doubt Egbuka is going to translate to the NFL and be a good receiver. Will he ever be a top 5, top 10 guy? Maybe not. But I think he is going to be one of the better wide receiver twos and a perfect complement to CeeDee Lamb. But Golden, I like the route running. He creates natural separation with the way he plays. He's got good hands. You could see in big moments he stepped up and made plays for Texas, especially in that Peach Bowl there. So I like Golden's game. I just don't have him quite as high as Egbuka. I think that I don't think Igbuka's busting.
And you mentioned McMillan out of Arizona.
Pause.
As being your dude at 12.
Yes. McMillan is Mike Evans. And people don't want to go quite there. I've heard Drake London. I think that he's got Mike Evans type ability. The speed, he plays faster on tape. I didn't really care what he ran. The wingspan, 50-50 balls are not 50-50 balls for him. They're like 80-20, 70-30. Balls in the air. Tet McMillan is going up and getting it. Works the middle of the field really well. I think he's a good route runner, and he's an excellent human being. And when you hear Brian Schottenheimer talk about culture, Tet McMillan is the right kind of guy. We used to talk about the Garrett kind of dudes, that the right kind of guys. Tet McMillan is a guy that's going to come in high class, character individual, but also is just a baller on the football field.
Can you give me and the people one more name, whether it's somebody you love, somebody you wish would be there, or somebody that might be in play for the Cowboys at 12 that we should know about?
I'd absolutely love Abdul Carter. There's no way he's
for
going
sure
to be there.
Yes.
But I'll say this. Out of the defensive tackles, I like Derek Harmon from Oregon a lot. If they were to do that, I think Walter Nolan is the guy that's in play for the Cowboys. I think they like him quite a bit. Texas A&M transfer, went to Ole Miss. But Derek Harmon is a transfer from Michigan State. I think he's a true one tech that has the ability to get upfield and rush the passer. Can also play a little five tech on the defensive end, which would be more of a 3-4 scheme if you're not familiar with that. But he's difficult to move off the football. You got to get him sideways. Otherwise, he's going to hold his ground. He needs to just finish a little bit better, but he has the potential to wreck so many plays. He just gets a little bit high or just a little bit out of position, but I love him. I mean, is he an almost guy when you watch him on tape?
Yeah.
Like, he's there, he's disrupting the play, but then he needs like his defense to rally around and finish for him. But the point is, he's getting into the backfield and wreaking havoc. I think his best football's ahead of him.
All right, there you go. Excellent first round draft breakdown right there from Mr. Woolchuck. Let's lighten the mood, though, just a little bit.
Ooh.
You want to do the Chuck Wagon?
Should we Chuck Wagon it up?
Let's do it. Next on The Fan.
Sets him down.
This could be it.
It means he has five back.
That knee in the
elbow. Put it in the call. 12-6. Wow. And Cheedy, bang, bang, is back in the knockout column.
KC Masterpiece right here on 105 through the Fan. We got a Chuck Wagon in just a second, but two things. Want you to tell me what motion picture this song is from, but also the G-Bag Nation will be live at Cold Beer at Cold Beers and Cheeseburgers on Friday. That's this Friday in Euless. Last time they were there, it was a hell of a party. Now you factor in some college basketball, I think it's going to be even better. And Zach Woolchuck will be off of G-Bag suspension. He will be eligible to go to that broadcast. So Cold Beers and Cheeseburgers, Euless on Friday. And send me, if you know, what movie that song was from. Now, though, it's time for the Chuck Wagon.
Let's do it. Hit the music, Medford.
If there was any.
Yeah, there's not. There's not. It's really whatever you want to do. I don't have an open for this. But all aboard. Let's get on the Chuck Wagon. And we start with the Ultimate Fighting Championship. They are reportedly fed up with ESPN streaming issues. All right. They're sick of it. They are annoyed. Dana White when it comes to UFC 313 last week, there were issues buying the UFC pay-per-view. Dana White addressed it in the post-fight press conference. He said, oh yeah, it made it to me. They were having problems buying it on ESPN Plus. I don't know what happened with their platform tonight. There were a lot of pissed off people, said Dana. Unfortunately, we experienced a technical issue that impacted purchases of the UFC pay-per-view on ESPN Plus shortly after 9 o'clock Central Time, which, oh, by the way, is right when the main event, or the main card is starting. Our teams identified and resolved the issue, restoring full functionality ahead of the main event. We apologize for the inconvenience and are taking steps to ensure a better experience in the future.
And one of the things I heard, though, even though you missed the majority of the main card, except for the main event, they weren't giving refunds. They're like, we'll just replay it. And so, hey, thanks for letting me watch your pay-per-view starting again at midnight or 12:30.
Absolutely. That's ridiculous. Nice. Yeah, and you know how the UFC is, man. They want to get their money.
Hey.
Not good.
Those Jason Statham promos aren't going to run themselves if you're not watching that. If you're not watching the pay-per-view.
That's true. Good point. So the New York Post, Eric Richter, said that this has been a bad marriage for a couple of years for both parties.
That.
The UFC is frustrated with the technology that ESPN is not up to speed yet. And ESPN is frustrated because they're not getting the pay-per-view buys that they were expecting. So someone close to the situation has told Richter, otherwise known as Sphincter Richter, that Netflix would surely be the UFC's next landing spot once their current deal with ESPN ends. Now, gentlemen, I know you've got thoughts on this.
Hank, I do.
But both of you are wrestling men. And I do wonder, after, of course, we had Paul versus Tyson and that whole streaming issue went terribly, but they bounced back. They handled Christmas Day with the NFL very well. And now they've been doing live WWE events
that have seen Raw's been going well.
Ton of streamers, right? Yeah. Maybe this has now made UFC feel more confident that Netflix could handle this.
Alec, we've got a statement and then a question for you. All right. More. First of all, statement. A lot of people in the world knew that it was Dangerous Minds, except for the people that thought it was Indecent Proposal. One person said that the movie was Michelle Pfeiffer. Another person said it was Shawshank Redemption. And another person said it was Criminal Minds. However, I want to highlight this text from the 469. That's that movie when Michelle Pfeiffer was a badass and Coolio came to visit, but they both got sent to detention. Now, that is actually not a bad breakdown of the music video, but yes, the movie was Dangerous Minds. Also, Alec, I'm going to pitch it to you because I want to get your thoughts on this because there's a chance you're about to see this happen on Max with AEW, where they have thought about creating an, ultra pay tier, whatever the premium pay tier, whatever you want to call it, where like you pay, but then you pay again for the events. Do you think that's what Netflix has in mind or do you think they're like, no? Just give us your content.
I think that's probably what they have in mind because they keep raising the prices as they add more live content.
Yeah.
So I think they are going to get to the point where they're going to start losing people that don't care about the live content because they keep raising the prices. So they say, how can we keep our regular, episodic show viewing audience while not raising the price for everybody, but still bring in the live sports audience, you charge them a flat fee per event. And I think that's the direction they probably should go. And I think a lot of people are going to be mad about it. You can't please everyone in this situation, but like you alluded to, Wolchuk, they've done really good with the live stream stuff ever since Paul versus Tyson. Every Monday, I think Monday Night Raw has been really great on Netflix. I do like how quick they get it back up for replay too. So I think a lot of people would be happy with it, and they already exist underneath the same parent company in TKO, so they have the relationships to make that happen already. So inevitably, I think it will happen, and I think they will charge a fee per pay-per-view.
So I'm not saying you're wrong whatsoever. Here's one of the fundamental issues I had with that. This is one of the fundamental issues I had when UFC moved to ESPN Plus to begin with. You have to pay to have the right to buy our pay-per-view. Yes. I think that's stupid. Like, I unless it's a discounted rate, which then I'd be probably back on board. But I hate the idea that you have to pay, whether it's ESPN, whether you're going $9 a month, or up at Netflix, you're at $18 a month, or in Max, $16 a month. And that's what you have to pay to get the service so you can have access to buy the pay-per-view. I just hate that business model, but I might have also gotten spoiled by the WWE Network.
Sure.
Now Peacock and everything like that. They're like, here's your price, out the door, you get everything.
I wonder if Netflix takes notes from that and they say, ooh, look, if you just want to buy the pay-per-view, we'll allow you to do that. You know, you won't have access to anything else on our platform. But if you click this direct link that takes you to UFC whatever number and you want to buy this pay-per-view, you can pay us to watch it for one time and one time only. Yeah. Essentially like pay-per-view just via Netflix.
Yeah, I could accept that.
Yeah, that'd be a smart way to do it. I also don't think this partnership has worked well at all. I don't think the UFC has really grown since moving from Fox Sports to the ESPN. I think it's ultimately probably
regressed. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I think you agree. Had the prime of the UFC. Maybe it took off like 2012 to 2018. And that could be superstars, because right now you've got a great run, a historic run of champions that have not lost, I think, in over a year of having the belt.
But how many of them can you name just like that aren't like big combat sports fans, as opposed to felt like everybody knew John Jones, Conor McGregor, if you want to go back a little bit, GSP, Anderson Silva, whereas now they're great fighters. How many of them do you know? Amanda Nunes, one of the best female fighters we've ever seen. She didn't sell for nothing, even though she knocked stupid Ronda Rousey back into oblivion. She couldn't sell.
And then knocked out Cyborg, which was epic. But you're right. I mean, it's like John Jones is still a champ. Otherwise, like Alex Pereira, that's become a pretty big name. Unfortunately, the Sugar Show lost.
Yeah.
So that's not there. But they are losing. I mean, Dustin Poirier is about to fight his final fight. Like a lot of the big name fighters that people would tune into have either retired or are about to retire from the sport.
Yep.
So it's a bummer. Okay. Bill Belichick, famous for no days off, right? No days off, day by day. Yeah, I know you probably don't like this Jordan Hudson relationship. She's 24 years old.
I think it's weird. And the thing that I think is weird is also that like they've known each other, been talking for like 5 years. So I was like, all right, so right after she graduated high school, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Dope.
It's a little bit weird. It's a bit cringe. But University of North Carolina, currently on spring break through the 17th. They just got back yesterday. Last week, we had photos that went viral over the weekend. The famous no days off man, Bill Belichick. Well, he couldn't help but get taken by Jordan Hudson to spend some beloved love and beach times to the Sunshine State in Florida, where they're doing beach yoga, baby.
I saw one of these pictures, and I have to admit, I was really impressed that he could get his granddaughter all the way up in the air like that.
Aw, how nice of you to note that. Because that is probably about the age, like 72 years old with a 24-year-old granddaughter.
Yeah.
Is that what we're looking at here?
Yeah.
However, I do like to imagine that, okay, just for you, honey, let's get a quick yoga session. And then I'm right back to my phone and I'm hitting the recruiting trail, because we did get news today.
Stole. Yeah.
They did. There was a little thievery going on as UNC went ahead and called the Fighting Kevin Hagelins of Texas A&M and said Trayshawn Ruffin, the defensive tackle, number 238 recruit in the ESPN Junior 300. He flipped his commit from A&M to North Carolina. 6'3", 305 pound, committed to Aggies in October of 2024. He said, peace out, dude. I'm going to play for Bill Belichick in Chapel Bill.
Do you think there's any chance Belichick has heard my constant disapprovement of this relationship and he's like, all right, check this out?
I think that you are the cause for this. He wants to hurt you.
I'm sorry, Texas A&M.
And that is to take all of your good players.
Let's be honest. We weren't gonna win a big game anyway. With that kid, without that kid.
You're a realist when it comes to Texas A&M football, and I appreciate that.
I love Texas A&M. There's not many of you. But when people are like, oh, you guys don't win big games, I'm like, oh, that's a fair counterpoint.
What
am I supposed to say to that?
We had Danny Cannell on. I think it was right after week one on G-Bag. And I asked him, I said, when you were watching Notre Dame and Texas A&M play, did this just seem like the frauds, like the Fraud Bowl? Two teams that always are ranked really high but ultimately do nothing. Now, to Notre Dame's credit, They made it to the national championship game. So I had some egg on my face, and I apologize, Irish fans. But Texas A&M, they fit the bill there.
They did.
I mean, the best, what is it, Johnny Manziel's season, they beat OU in the Cotton Bowl?
That was the most amazing season, and I still stand firm. If you would have had this expanded playoff then, Texas A&M would have won the national championship. They were smoking people left and right. But guess what? That's not the way it works. No, so they win nothing except for in 1939, maybe.
All right, let's stick with college football. Did you see what Colorado and Dion want to do for their spring game? So now we've got the popular thing is we're getting rid of the spring games. Texas has done it. Matt Rhule and Nebraska did it.
Because you've
got teams that are looking at and trying to recruit off your spring game, and then they're calling them, offering them NIL deals, and trying to get them to enter the portal and transfer to your school. So here is Dion, who is pushing back against not playing a spring game. Not only does he still want it, he's got other ideas. Take it away, Coach Pratt.
Spring game will be televised. ESPN2 will broadcast spring game on the 19th. We got to sell this thing out and pack this thing, because the way the trend is going, you never know if this is going to be the last spring game. I don't believe in that. I don't really want to condone that. I would like to play the spring. Actually, I like to play against another team in the spring. That's what I'm trying to do right now, to have it competitive. Playing against your own guys kind of get monotonous, and you really can't tell the level of your guys, because, you know, it's the same old, everybody kind of know each other towards the end. I would like to style it like the pros. I would like to practice against someone for a few days, then you have the spring game. And I think the public will be satisfied with that tremendously. I think it's a tremendous idea. Yeah, I've told those personnel who should understand that it's a tremendous idea.
I do love, like, it's my idea, so it's a tremendous idea, that whole thing.
I actually kind of like this idea.
I'm in on this. One, any of us that love football, more football, yes, please. Watching will be a glorified, like, combine. Like, isn't that what Oklahoma is doing? I know College Football Carter will know this. Like, they're doing the Crimson Combine or something crazy like that. I don't even know what that's going to entail. Like, it's basically just still a way for us to add revenue in place of what the spring game would be, because that's a great revenue builder. Like, if you're Nebraska, the entire state of Nebraska shows up to Lincoln on a game day.
Yeah.
So if you don't have a spring game, how are you going to replicate that revenue? Well, I do love this, and it did not take long for one interested football team. Syracuse head coach Fran Brown took to social media offering the orange to come to Boulder for 3 days and take on the Buffs in a spring game that would be televised on ESPN.
I kind of like it. I really do. I think it would be interesting. Clearly, those are the most exciting parts about training camp, where you have the joint practices and you get that vibe going out there. So I kind of like it.
Good idea.
Excellent edition of the Chuck Wagon right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Gridiron Gravy. Are these post-free agency players primed for a breakout? Next on the Fan.
Four-man rush on third and 25. Out of the pocket, McCarthy keeps the play alive. Long throw across the field. He drives it in. Daley Baldwin to the house.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan right now. Let's say we go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy. To start with this, well, Chuck, how much do you care about jersey numbers and who wears what and all that good stuff?
Sometimes I think it can be fun. Okay. I used to like it a lot more as a kid. I used to get into that.
Sure.
But then there's also certain numbers, like now with the NFL having changed it to where you can wear single digits and you don't have all the rules. Like it gets kind of cool when you have like corner or even a D lineman that's repping the single digits now. But I do find it interesting. And some of them just aesthetically are more pleasing than others.
So Solomon Thomas was issued number 90, which was previously DeMarcus Lawrence. I saw some weird threads on social media that people thought, I don't know, that maybe DeMarcus Lawrence was like Bob Lilly or something like that. Like, he was here and he did a good job.
Cowboys also don't retire jerseys.
Yeah, and he's gone, so who cares?
We've had people wear Bob Lilly's
number. He's infinitely better than DeMarcus Lawrence.
I mean, really, the only ones that they haven't given out, you haven't had somebody wear 22 for Emmitt. You haven't really had an 8 for Troy Aikman. But, I mean, 54 for Randy White, for Chuck Howley, 21 with Dion. People wear them. So, I mean, you can go back and look. 88, obviously, that's become a thing. So the Cowboys don't really do that when it comes to the numbers.
We let the great Antonio Bryant have number 88.
Hell yeah.
Brandon Graham has retired after 15 seasons with the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, I wanted to bring that up in cooperation with this story because I thought it was interesting. Lane Johnson agreed to a one-year extension through 2027. I would have thought that perhaps Lane Johnson would be in that similar retirement track, but Brandon Graham retires, Lane Johnson signs a one-year extension.
Hey, I was hoping Lane Johnson would retire as well. Let's just go ahead and get him out of here. Or just go play for another team. Maybe retire, unretire, go somewhere else. Just get the hell out of the NFC East. But that dude's a stud. Go get your money, man. But Brandon Graham, I know, has talked about still wanting to be a part of the Eagles, much like Jason Kelce. Might end up trying to get into scouting with their scouting department.
Oh, okay. Well, that would make a lot of sense to me. So I wanted to see if you agreed with these or if y'all had your own thoughts. Players primed for a breakout season after the early free agency moves. And we played the highlight. First person on the list from Bleacher Report is, in fact, J.J. McCarthy. Now, this makes a lot of sense because he's clearly, or at least it feels like clearly, going to be the starter.
Yeah, and he should be.
Yeah, for
otherwise,
sure.
I guess the only way that this wouldn't happen would be if they bring in Aaron Rodgers, which the rumors are that that's where he wants to play. Are the Vikings interested? I feel like maybe if this were...
Is he just going there because of Favre? He's like, I got to follow every...
He has to, and then there'll be some type of illegal paying your taxes and stealing money from people, and then maybe he'll be dong shots.
Yeah.
And he's got a lot that he still needs to do. But if I'm J.J. McCarthy and they do this, like, do you just go and request a trade?
Oh, my God.
Like, what the hell? You guys are clearly looking for ways to not play me.
Yes.
Do you believe in me? Why'd you draft me?
So I agree with that. What I don't agree with is the next one. Najee Harris. I believe that you can put him on any team, anywhere, and he will get you that 4 yards of carry. No more, no less. When the season comes to an end, that's pretty much where he'll be. I was shocked at the amount of money he got. And maybe the Chargers think he's going to be really good. I don't see it.
They certainly are a team that wants to run the football. You know, that's the Harbaugh way. And he has had 1,000 yards every single season in the league. But you're right.
And never averaged more than 4.1 yards per
game. You kind of know what you're getting in Najee Harris. Yeah. Solid back, but he's not a game breaker.
Yeah. Did you see somebody that we talked about yesterday? Shocker. Azeez Ojulari signed with the Eagles.
I did. I saw that and immediately thought about our segment.
I knew it was a one-year deal. I didn't actually see the number. So my apologies. I'm sure the number is out there by now. But this was another player that we talked about. If you're in that B, C level of free agency fishing, this felt like somebody that would make sense. Do you think the Cowboys look at it and they're like, we feel pretty good on the edge?
Yeah, I don't think they were really in on Azeez Ojulari. And I think that as soon as they signed Fowler, like we talked about yesterday, it made sense. Yeah. And he's also a guy I didn't know, but he's barely played. He misses a lot of games.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does. All right, let's go back to the list. I know I'm kind of jumping around just a little bit. Jaxon Smith-Njigba, he is another player listed as a potential breakout. Do you foresee that? Obviously, you have a new quarterback, but probably more importantly, you've moved out DK Metcalf. Do you see Rockwall's own ready for a breakout?
Man, I love JSN. I love him ever since he scored 5 touchdowns in a game against Allen at AT&T Stadium. Hell, it might have been 6. He might have had 5 in the first half. The dude just torched the Allen Eagles, and I love anybody that does that.
Is it because of 2007?
Yeah, well, it's really just we haven't beaten Allen. Plano Senior High hasn't, I think, since 2005. So that's quite a run of just brutality. So they own us. But Jason, I think, kind of broke out last year. Now he's the number one target. So 100%, he's a big winner in free agency in terms of now all the targets are going to go his way. I'm sure fantasy managers everywhere are screaming, oh, we got to draft him pretty high too.
Question, the same question for Roma Dunze with the Chicago Bears. Now, I think one of the lines of thinking is, well, if you've redone your offensive line for a quarterback that clearly multiple times had to be running for his life, hopefully you can have a more logical sense of an offense, prevail from that.
100%. Offensive line better, and you also have Ben Johnson, who is a much more capable offensive mind and play caller, and no Keenan Allen. So now it's pretty much Roma Dunze, and you still have DJ Moore there, but Roma Dunze should be the number one target for Caleb Williams, I would assume.
And then somebody just dropped in from the 972. Caleb Williams will be an MVP candidate. Man, that would be a hell of a turnaround.
Sure would
right
be.
There. That also means that you're going to have Coach of the Year, or at least a very high Coach of the Year candidate in Ben Johnson.
The coaches in that division, if it pans out, that is a stacked division.
Now, one more I've got for you, Josh Sweat for the Arizona Cardinals. Obviously, we're very familiar with him, seen him in the division, had a really good job in the Super Bowl. How do you think he's going to fare? Is he a breakout player for Arizona?
I'm going to say that's the fart on the list. I'm going to say that one's not going to happen. I think Joshua is a good player, but I think he benefited from playing on a defense that also had Jalen Carter, that also had Nolan Smith, that also had a variety of other defensive players that could get after the quarterback, so he is able to take advantage of one-on-one matchups. Now you're the guy. You're probably going to be double-teamed. How does Joshua go ahead and adjust to that? But I guess Coach Gannon knows him a little bit from his days in Philadelphia, so maybe they got a plan for him.
I assume the answer is no, but I just want to make sure, Alec or Zach, did either one of you go out and buy the Love Hurts Nike hoodie? Because it sold out in just a matter of hours. The hoodie that Jalen Hurts wore at the Super Bowl parade, just a matter of hours.
I did run out of toilet paper, so I immediately Amazon ordered it.
That's too expensive.
That's a great idea.
On the drive in today, didn't think there was any way I would have a transition for this. I think
that's what we do, baby.
I think like a big thing of toilet paper fell out of someone's truck or something, because people were slowing down and you could see it was just paper. But then there was like squished rolls out there. And obviously you can only buy toilet paper in packs of 16,000. And so I think somebody lost a big thing of toilet paper driving down the road.
Someone had an awful warning.
they did.
That's not good. No, Kevin, if you see me wearing that Love Hurts or whatever the hell it says, call the cops. Something's wrong.
Something has happened.
Yeah, something horrible has happened and I'm not allowed to speak about it.
Okay, I like that. I like that for sure. Now, are the New England Patriots the most in on Travis Hunter? Because the word's coming out that they think Travis Hunter is the best wide receiver in the draft and that he's the best cornerback in the draft. And they might not have as pressing of a need at both positions, but if you think that's the best player in the draft at two different positions, kind of feels like you would go get that guy, doesn't
it? Yeah, you're probably in on him. I just wonder, like, I think the quarterbacks are still going to go 1-2 in this thing. I think you're going to get Ward and Sanders. Sanders will be a Cleveland Brown. Cam Ward will end up going number one to Tennessee unless the Giants trade. But I heard that there's the kibosh on that. So if you're the Giants at three, would you not just take Travis Hunter?
Yes, absolutely I would. All right. I think you do, I do too, put a lot of stock in Dane Brugler. Mm-hmm. Yes?
Yes, Dane's the man.
All right. So one of the things that I was curious about when I was looking at the Beast, I understand how important quarterback is. I promise. I really, really do. But when you see Cam Ward is on the list at 15 and you see Shador is on the list at 25, that feels like such a gigantic disconnect to be like, I get it. Quarterback is the most important. You could take a quarterback at 5 and it's not the end of the world. Like, why is it that teams are going to rush to get to 1-2? Because I think you're right. For quarterbacks that people decidedly seem to think like, they're fine.
It's supply and demand. I mean, that's how EJ Manuel ends up being a first-round pick.
Christian Ryan Tannehill. Ponder.
Yeah. Ryan Tannehill. Yeah. You name it. These teams are desperate for quarterbacks, bro.
Do you think Christian Ponder has had a Hall of Fame rest of his life, though?
Yeah, he definitely won it life.
I agree with that. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, bracket trends to remember and follow when making your picks. Or we'll just flip a coin a lot. Next on The Fan.